Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
When democracies face a national crisis, often the nations turn away from democracy.
This term, worship center, it's a language that sort of demotes church or desacralizes church into the register of the everyday and brings with it unintended overtones of something sort of transactional.
The only way we know to end suffering is to end the sufferer. But the Lord's response is that he does not bring an end to the sufferer, but he becomes one himself.
The Holy Gospel for the day that we talked about, the words of institution, this is all God's word. The entire service is biblical.
I'm a harpist in Arkansas, and I love Issues Etc.
Old Testament and New Testament, it is a major theme of Scripture, unity. Well, the Old Testament creed, the Lord our God is one. It starts with a God who is united. We learn later in the New Testament that God confessed in the Old Testament is a tri-unity. There is unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Christ has come that by the Holy Spirit and his word, we might have unity with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. So it runs through Scripture. Where are Christians getting this idea of unity wrong? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we'll talk about the unbiblical teaching of unity by California megachurch pastor Bill Johnson of Bethel Church, Reading. Pastor Chris Roseborough will be our guest. We'll spend some time with Pastor David Disson, hearing his story about being a Lutheran vicar during the Cuban Revolution in the late 50s. And then Pastor Jonathan Connor joins us for a Christian response to today's woke worldview. Joining us for This Week in Pop Christianity, Pastor Chris Roseborough. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
We're going to talk about unity. We're going to hear a lot about unity. What does the Bible teach about Christian unity?
Well, that we need to be careful who we unite with. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." And so you'll note that there are warnings throughout all of the scriptures, and I would note all of the books of the New Testament, with the exception of one, and that's Philemon, warn us to be on guard against false teachers, false prophets, false apostles, false signs and wonders workers. And there's a reason why, because they are sent by the devil to destroy the Christian faith. This is one of the mega weapons of the devil that we learn about in the book of Revelation. And so somebody who comes to us and they appear pious, they may pray, they may invoke the name of Jesus. Note, the false teachers come to us, as Jesus says, dressed in sheep's clothing. So piety and prayer and saying that they believe in Jesus are all part and parcel of it, but that may be the sheep's clothing. The question comes down to, what do they believe? What do they teach? What do they confess? And so you'll note that the Apostle John, who wrote not only the Gospel of John, but gave us three epistles, in 2 John, writing to the elect woman, this is a lady who has a Christian congregation meeting in her home, he warns, he says, many deceivers have gone out into the world, and they don't confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. And he says then in verse 9, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, in the teaching, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, don't receive him into your house or give him a greeting. And in this particular case, receiving them into the house is actually talking about receiving them into the Christian congregation itself, giving them the right hand of fellowship, or even giving them an opportunity to open up the scriptures. We are not to do that. So Christian unity ends when somebody deviates from the scriptures. They are teaching false doctrine. We no longer have unity. They may be heterodox or heretical, but the scriptures are clear that Christ does not will for us to be in unity with those whose teaching departs from scripture. So over and again, the test of true unity is going to be what is believed, taught, confessed by different teachers and groups. And we'll note that there are many sects within Christianity. And the reason those sects exist is because of their open hostility to what the scriptures say and their divergence from what the Bible says and reveals.
We're going to be hearing from Bill Johnson. Who is he?
Bill Johnson is the current mega church vision casting leader and apostle. He is a self-proclaimed apostle within the New Apostolic Reformation at Bethel Church in Redding, California. That means he's associated not only with Bethel Church and all of the, you know, and all of their different tentacles that they put out, including the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, but also Bethel Music. This man, the only way I can describe him is that he is a heretic of the highest rank, of the highest order. And recently on YouTube, in an attempt to kind of do some damage control, Bethel Church, with their help of their kind of in-house theologian, Dan Farrelly, they did a series of videos called Rediscover Bethel, where they're trying to cast themselves as not being heretical or heterodox, but that their doctrines are completely fine. They're totally Christian, even if you don't disagree. And we're going to be listening to the first few minutes of the opening video, the very first video in the series. And in listening to what Bill Johnson and Dan Farrelly have to say as it relates to Christian unity, we should be able to note a huge difference between what they are saying and what Jesus warns us about, as well as his apostles.
When the Lord was moving on Bethel to kind of create networks and to have it felt like we were trying to do something in somebody else's house, to do what we were called to do within the assemblies. And so that's the time that we moved out of the assemblies.
Yeah, we basically asked permission to leave, but you know, our relationship with them was good.
Absolutely.
And it still is. I mean, we just we really feel indebted to them. In fact, we give the same, you know, the financial support that we gave when we were in the assemblies, we do now. I mean, nothing in that sense has changed, but it's difficult to experiment the way we experiment with things that causes problems for other people, and we just felt it was wisdom to leave as honorably as we knew how, but still keep connections. And so that's what we've tried to do. So we've worked hard to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, and the Holy Spirit was hitting in unusual ways at that time. And so that was kind of difficult for the vineyard to navigate, for the assemblies to navigate.
True.
And so, but we don't say that to be critical, but it's just part of, we love the global church of Jesus.
I do.
And so let's just talk about like your love for the church in general, not just our particular slice of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I really do. I was excuse me, I was raised in a household that really valued the body of Christ, period. My dad was such a champion of diversity.
You know, we say body of Christ, it's people who've put their faith in Jesus.
Exactly. Yeah. People who are born again or are part of this thing called the body of Christ, the church of the living God.
Yeah.
And my dad was such a champion of diversity. You know, you hear the phrase, people will say, I want to be celebrated, not tolerated.
Yeah.
And he lived that. I mean, mm-hmm. he really, really loved the diversity. He didn't tolerate it. He loved it. And he would bring people in to minister to us here at Bethel. I'll never forget the diversity of people, but they all had this love for God. They all had a prayer life. They all had this affection for Jesus. They all were worshipers. They all loved the scriptures. And they had all these things in common. And they would come and minister to us here at Bethel when my dad was the senior leader. So I learned that from him. And in fact, to illustrate the diversity, one Sunday morning, he had a Catholic priest come and speak at this Assembly of God Church, and the very next Sunday, a Baptist evangelist. Wow. And yep. So that's about as diverse as, you know, as you can get. I mean, it really taught us, because people responded so well. We could see what the priest had to say that was so powerful for us, and the Baptist evangelist, and on it goes, but a real celebration.
So he's painting a picture there of kind of getting everybody's different points of view, something he obviously wanted to continue from his father's time as the pastor of Bethany. What's wrong with it, Chris?
So the scriptures do not champion diversity when it comes to doctrine. And the fact that he is holding up his father's actions of bringing in on one Sunday a Roman Catholic priest and then the following Sunday a Baptist evangelist, and this is all under the big umbrella concept of that there needs to be diversity within the body of Christ, and that all of these people, they have prayer lives, they're worshipers, they love the scriptures, as if somehow the differences between the Assemblies of God, the Roman Catholic Church, Southern Baptists, or whatever, as if somehow these differences are just completely, well, they don't matter at all. I would note that the Roman Catholic Church at the Council of Trent anathematized the central core doctrine of the Christian faith, that salvation is by grace through faith apart from works. So we've got a problem, and that is that Scripture tells us that it's all about the doctrine, the teaching, and to not listen to or allow somebody within the congregation who brings a different teaching or who has not been abiding within the words of Christ found in Scripture. In Bethel's way of looking at things, well, you know, because they have these experiences with the Holy Spirit that made the Assemblies of God uncomfortable, made the Vineyard movement uncomfortable, you know, they're basically saying, none of these doctrinal differences matter. What's being taught from the pulpit doesn't matter. Instead, we just need to recognize that we need to champion diversity. This is totally contrary to what Scripture says.
Just real quickly, before we hear the next bite, you really got to test the limit here with the Assemblies of God, because they're not known for their kind of strict doctrinal adherence to a certain number of doctrinal tenets.
No, they're not. And neither was the Vineyard. So the fact that Bethel Church was considered to be outside of the pale of Christianity within both the Assemblies of God and within the Vineyard movement should tell you something. These are not denominations or movements that were known for their doctrinal rigor. And yet what Bill Johnson and Bethel Church at Reading were bringing to the table, neither of those groups, who were very experience-based, could handle or tolerate, or were willing to say that this was biblical or Christian. So yeah, that says something here and needs to be considered in this context, because the question now is, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe Bethel, who was even too heretical for the Assemblies of God and the Vineyard movement? Or are you going to believe the Scriptures, and you're going to believe Christ, who warns us that just because somebody prays or comes to us in the, you know, and uses Jesus's name, or that they claim that they love the Scriptures, that somehow we can just embrace them as being brothers and part of the bigger body of Christ, when Scripture tells us to actually have discernment along these lines, and everything is really weeded out according to the doctrine, the teaching that is being brought to us.
What are we going to hear next from Bill Johnson?
So we're going to hear him continuing with these thoughts. And one of the phrases you're going to hear is this concept of many tribes within the nation. And listen to how he blurs distinctions and now really tries to make it sound like true Christian unity is based upon a complete diversity of doctrine.
Dad, there was a pastor friend of his here in town that he had breakfast or lunch with one day, and the pastor was from a denomination that didn't believe quite the same as we did regarding the Holy Spirit. And he made a comment to my dad. He said, "You guys call yourself full gospel." And he said, that really hurts when you say that, because it implies you have the full gospel and we have part gospel. And my dad looked at him and said, "I'll never use that term again." And he dropped it there. He would never use that term again. It's meaningful.
He had full gospel fellowship guys in his church.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Made it tough to make announcements.
But he never used that to describe himself versus another group. It's kind of an elite term. I don't think it started that way, it's not a competition, but it ends up that way. You know, well, we have something you don't have, and there's this arrogance thing. And he was such a champion at valuing what a person had. So
beautiful.
I love that.
Talking about that elite thing, we ran into that with our core values at some point, trying to not, at one point we were calling them apostolic distinctions, you know, and it's like, it works, but it did feel like it was drawing lines and fences that weren't in our heart, actually isn't in our theology, saying these are our distinctives, but actually we started calling them, these are our emphasis, the things the Lord's taught us to emphasize in the global church, realizing that the Lord in his genius beauty is calling other denominations, other works to emphasize other things to his glory.
That's true.
He's a gloriously, you know, gigantic God. He takes a full fellowship in order to accurately reflect who he is and what he cares about.
That's true. There's many tribes in the nation, and each one contributes.
So I'm trying to sort out what they're saying there, because while they're separating from the assemblies of God, because they are saying they've got some unique movements of the Spirit, they're at the same time saying, but we don't want to say we have anything that's distinctive. Of course, it's all about the distinctive differences that everybody brings to the table. It sounds an awful lot like that old legend of the blind men and the elephant, that everybody kind of has part of the truth, and all, you don't get the whole truth until you put it all together.
That is a fantastic comparison. And it's, if I could pull in a weird way of looking at this, it's akin to what the Freemasons do. Within Freemasonry, you can be a Freemason, but you are required to believe in a higher power. And so when somebody is brought into Freemasonry, they can swear on the Bible, they can swear on the Quran, they can swear on the Vedas or the Bhagavad Gita, and there have been men who've sworn their Masonic allegiances over a feather because, you know, they believe in the religions of the American Native Americans. At the end of the day, you know, there is no, in their way of looking, no one view is better than another, and every view contributes. And you'll note that what Bethel was doing, they were saying that, you know, our doctrinal distinctives, you know, they were kind of musing about the concept of something called the full gospel and how it had become an elitist term. And it really is, when you think about it, in Pentecostalism, because historically Pentecostals claim that churches like the confessional Lutheran churches, they're devoid of the Spirit. And so they'll claim that you have to have a second baptism of the Holy Spirit as evidenced by speaking in tongues. And unless you have people in your church who've had that second baptism of the Holy Spirit and they allow for speaking in tongues and prophecy and stuff like that, that is a church. Well, the people there may be going to heaven, but they don't have the full gospel. They're missing some ingredients. And so you'll note that that Bethel, they're in that vein. And so they wanted to get away from the language of full gospel. And so they were talking about apostolic distinctives. And even that was too rigid. And so they came up with a different concept altogether. These were doctrinal emphases. They're not distinctives. They're not differences. And so in their way of thinking, the meta-narrative is that the broader visible church, which has all kinds of doctrinal contradictions, different groups believe one thing to the exclusion of doctrines that are believed in other groups, their claim is that they are all part of the body of Christ, and that what we need for full diversity is to recognize that different churches are called by the Holy Spirit to emphasize different doctrines or aspects of God, but that all of these emphases somehow are true and should be embraced and celebrated.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity Today, an unbiblical teaching on the unity of the church by California megachurch Pastor Bill Johnson of Bethel Church. We'll be right back. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Is your church celebrating a major anniversary soon? Ad Crucem can help with customized products to commemorate the event. We can create church banners, ornaments with an image of the church or your logo. We can even make stickers to hand out to members. We also recommend Kelly Schumacher create a painting of your church with matching greeting cards. Visit adcrucem.com and search for Church Anniversary for more details. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those words of Jesus have been the motto of Concordia University Chicago for generations. We build our education on the Word of God, the only sure foundation for learning. I'm Dr. Adam Francisco, Dean of the College of Theology, Arts, and Humanities at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for God's Word to become the foundation of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
From New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, visit us at the Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York. A small, confessional, conservative Lutheran church with traditional Lutheran liturgical worship, gospel-rich, shenanigan-free. For more information, visit us at OurRedeemerLCMS.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a false teaching of unity by California megachurch pastor Bill Johnson. It's our feature this week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. A word without the Holy Spirit is no word of God, but mere human words, empty, useless chatter. And a spirit that comes without the word of God is not the revealing spirit of God, but an evil spirit. Even though the Holy Spirit could work apart from the word, he has chosen not to. That's a little bit from the Issues Etc. book of the month for September. Minute messages, gospel-filled devotions for every occasion. You can order minute messages from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Minute messages, gospel-filled devotions for every occasion, the Issues Etc. book of the month for September. So, Chris, what is the final cut from Bill Johnson?
So, in this final cut, as we listen to it, it's a little bit longer. He's going to continue with this idea that somehow the Holy Spirit really wants there to be diversity of doctrine, which he's just reduced to emphases. And when confronted with the idea of there being uniformity of doctrine, pay close attention to how he makes a distinction between what he considers to be the unity that Christ has called us to and uniformity, and how uniformity is somehow a bad thing.
One of the things I enjoy so much with the travel that I do, I travel a fair amount of the year, is I'm with so many different groups that are so different than we are. Mm-hmm. But they'll take the risk, you know, and ask me to come, and I love being with them so much. I love even hearing a teaching that maybe in some measure contradicts something that I hold dear. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it's absolutely against Scripture, then I'm gonna struggle.
If there's like a zillion gods or something like that,
exactly. But if you know, if it's, you know, I hear somebody, I have a friend teach on Calvinism and predestination when I would emphasize free will. I love hearing that. I really do. It doesn't offend me at all. It awakens me to not only the rest of the church, but the part of the Scriptures that may not stand out to me.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that journey of walking with other people.
Absolutely.
So fun.
I was reading again John 17 and Jesus' love of the unity of the church, like, he is like, this will actually be gorgeous.
a billboard saying, I am who I am. Yeah. Like our unity and our love for each other in the midst of these disagreements and things we know. And so, and Jesus on the night he's betrayed is like, it's the unity, guys. It's the unity and the love. So that's going to be a message to the world of who I am.
Yep.
And that I accomplished what I said I would accomplish in creating a body, a family.
And that's the point, is we do celebrate. We can't create unity. You know, there's a lot of unity movements trying to create unity. Paul says in Ephesians 4 to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So when the Holy Spirit has true influence over my life, I'm going to live without offense as somebody who thinks differently than I do. Being united together is the result of his presence. Yeah. It's not the result of some ecumenical movement. I don't mind
not through perfect agreement, or you got to lay down anything offensive. And as soon as you think like me, we can actually walk together. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
what do we do?
That's not unity, that uniformity.
Yeah.
Real unity, I believe, requires diversity. Mm. It's the only way you can really tell that you have unity. Otherwise, it's everybody's, you know, it's the cookie cutter Christian where we all look and talk the same. That's not good for us.
Yeah.
It's not good for me just to be around people who agree with me.
Yeah.
It's just not healthy. I need, you know, the rock tumbler, you know, where the sharp edges of the rock, we're together, and it helps to bring that glory of Christ out of our lives through our fellowship together.
So, Chris, Bill Johnson would draw the line at polytheism, but pretty much any other doctrinal disagreements, he just chalks up to diversity.
And you'll know it if you go back and listen to the soundbite. Even polytheism, he said he would struggle with. He didn't say he would reject. He said he would struggle with it. So you'll note that as we think about what we just heard, he took two doctrines which are mutually exclusive, the concept of biblical monergism, and it was spoken in the context of Calvinistic predestination, versus free will. Now, we Lutherans have a different way of discussing the topic, but we would note that these are mutually exclusive doctrines. Either one is true or the other is false, or vice versa, or they're both false. But what is not possible is that both are true. And so he's basically saying we need to love the unity of the church, and that unity is somehow apart from and has nothing to do with what is being doctrinally taught. And I would note that what he says doesn't connect with Scripture at all, because despite the fact that Christ has called for us to be united, and Paul has made it clear that we are to not disrupt or get rid of the unity and the bond of peace, that same Apostle Paul, talking about what the qualifications are for a pastor in Titus chapter 1, says that a pastor must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, they are empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. And Paul says they must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families for teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and lazy gluttons. Well, this testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, so that they may be sound in the faith and not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. And so we've got a real problem here. Are we going to listen to the Scriptures and how it defines unity and where the boundaries of unity are? Or are we going to believe that, well, because Bethel has these manifestations that they claim are from the Holy Spirit, that therefore we can just completely blur these doctrinal differences, chalk it up to these are different emphases that God is calling different churches and denominations to have, but we should all recognize the common denominator is the Holy Spirit, therefore we can celebrate this diversity and eschew any kind of doctrinal uniformity.
What I notice here, Chris, that is lost in the shuffle, and this is literally kind of the hand-waving and the sleight of hand that Bill Johnson is engaging in here, and the twisting of Scripture and language, is that Scripture is lost as both the source and the measure of truth.
Yes. In fact, I would note this. Not only is Scripture lost, did you note that in all of our sound bites, with the exception of an allusion to something that Jesus says in the Gospel of John, that there was no meaningful discussion about what the scripture says in this matter. And so what they were doing is that they were theologizing without any biblical texts at all. And so as Christians, we are not permitted to have our own doctrine. We are not permitted to have our own theology. There's a Latin phrase I like to bring up. I first found the phrase in the writings of Francis Pieper. And Francis Pieper noted that the Latin phrase goes like this, quod non est biblicum, non est theologicum. That which is not biblical is not theology. And although these men come to us, quote, in the name of Christ, and Bethel Church claims to be a Christian church, they were theologizing and putting forward doctrines, but all of the theology and doctrines that they were putting forward came from their own internal ego, not the written word of God. They weren't looking at an open biblical text and saying, all right, well, Paul says this in Titus chapter 1. Jude, his entire epistle is written against these things. And then, of course, we got 2 John warning us about people who've departed from the word and from the scriptures. And so we have to take all of these things into consideration and what God, the Holy Spirit, wills for us regarding unity. No, they were just pontificating, speculating, theologizing without any meaningful discussion of the word. And so the word was lost from the word go in these sound bites.
Finally, with about a minute here, they claimed that we're not supposed to pursue unity, that he kind of offhandedly quoted Paul saying we need to preserve unity, as though unity were kind of the natural steady state of the church and we don't need to strive for it in any way.
Right. And this goes back to the fact that their definition of unity is the common denominator that they claim that everybody within the visible body of Christ, rather than the invisible, but that's a distinction for another time, that they all have the Holy Spirit. Roman Catholic priests, Assemblies of God minister, people in the vineyard, there those at Bethel, and they would maybe begrudgingly say, you confessional Lutherans, yeah, you got the Holy Spirit too, but you don't really talk about him. At least that's their claim. And therefore, they would say, you already have unity by virtue of the fact that you all already have the Holy Spirit. We are to preserve the unity by recognizing that we all have the Holy Spirit, and therefore we just need to embrace and champion the diversity that exists within our unity. That's the way they argue.
And very briefly, what does the Bible actually say about the source and the nature of the unity that Christ does so extol?
So Christ makes it clear in the Great Commission. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you. Unity within the Christian faith cannot be without doctrine, or is unity within the Christian faith with those who have departed from or added to or subtracted from the teachings of Christ. So Christ makes it clear, the curriculum within the Christian church that we are to preach and to proclaim and defend are the words that he has given. And those are found in scripture, and it has to be using sound exegesis and hermeneutics at arriving at what it is that is revealed in the word of God. Those who've departed from or gone beyond the word, scripture is clear in 2 John that they don't have the faith and that they're not our Christian brothers, and that we are not even to welcome them or give them the right hand of fellowship, because to do so is to participate in their false doctrines and their false teaching. That's what scripture teaches.
Pastor Chris Rosebrough is pastor of Kontzfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Chris, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, Pastor David Disson will join us. He's going to tell us the story of a year he spent as a Lutheran vicar in the late 50s in Cuba during the Cuban Revolution. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, gospel-filled devotions for every occasion. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. simplyclassical.com.